recomiendo que me regrese con el profesor por él. Y espero.
Cuando honorable members and members of the staff of parliament, our guests, you are now backbenchers today. There are people who are called backbenchers. So as guests, you are backbenchers. My name is Amfema Kakwana. And I like my surname. It's very difficult for those who are lazy to try and pronounce. Sorry for the delay. It was because of the lack of quorum. We have lost 40 minutes. We're supposed to start at 9, and now it's 10 past. I know it's in your watches, it's 10 past. In mine, as a worker, it's quarter past, so mine is always 5 minutes ahead. We're going to be here until we finish. If there are times reflected, don't mind. We're going to be here until we finish. But before going to the minutes to the apologies and everything else, I've welcomed you. But before going to the items, I would like to inform the House that Honorable Mandela will be going in and out. Very sad news that he lost his sister this morning. He lost his sister yesterday. And this, the person who was responsible in that home, he will have to consult on a number of issues. And as a tradition and a practice, we must stand up. I request you to stand up so that we keep a moment of silence.
Honorable Zelda, a young lad, also sent an apology because she also lost a family member.
It's not rude at all. It's not rude at all. Because I didn't go through the apology, so that Honorable Mandela did. For those two, Honorable Young Blood is part of this committee, a very consistent member of this committee. And, so she has a bereavement too, as Ms. Dane is saying. not used in praying, once you go beyond the minute, their prayers already finished. We are used in taking 15 minutes. So, members, we have an agenda before us. And apologies, as we said, Honorable Jungblut won't be with us today because of the bereavement. Honorable Shengwa is not able to attend because of clash of meetings. You remember he's the only one here from NFP. The Deputy Minister will not be here due to prior commitments. Everybody is aware that the Chair has apologized because of she's on study leave. We know that Honorable Ramukwase, the apologies here, will not be able to attend due to medical operation he has to undergo today. Honorable Tungwana she was not able to get his traveling arrangements in time. That's why the House is so scanty in terms of the permanent members of our committee. Those are the apologies, members. Any mover for the acceptance of the apologies as presented? Honorable Jungblut.
Honorable
Steyn, I'm very sorry.
Chair, and I also just need to apologize. I need to leave at around 12:30 at the latest.
12:30. That's another apology, honorable member.
Thank you, Chair. I'd also like to apologize in advance. I've got a study group on constitutional development and correctional services at 12:30.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Mrs. Carter?
Okay, I was going to apologize that I have to run to my transport committee, but I think I'll remain.
All right. Thank you very much. Those members who are kind of alternate, because I know they have other meetings, they can just quietly leave the meeting. Not leave the house, leave the meeting. We're now going to get the presentation from. From the legal. We are going to get the presentation from the legal person. We're going to get a presentation from the legal person. I keep on forgetting your surname. Advocate Swartz. It is that way. And then after that, we'll then get the briefing from our own staff of the committee. Are you ready, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I made this presentation because we were put on the program. Actually quite unusual for us to present before the department, But I thought that since this is my slot and my chance, I must put out there the concerns I have. So usually I do try to sort it out with the department and then we agree on it to bring it to the committee. But I haven't raised it with them. But as I said, I thought I don't want to miss my chance to raise it with the committee. The format of the presentation is a few questions that I want the committee to ask the department, which is of clarity, which is not as quite clear in the bill. And there's a lot of drafting issues which need to be sorted out, which I've highlighted in the presentation. Firstly, I thought it prudent to... Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I thought it prudent to just give us a little bit of background to the bill. The committee may recall that I was also before the committee last year to bring to the committee's attention the Constitutional Court case and the pending deadline in order to remedy the defect. But just to refresh the committee's memory, I thought I'll just highlight that there was a Constitutional Court case in 2013, and the court considered whether Section 2 and 3 of the Protection of Performing Animals Act is consistent with the Constitution. What Section 2 basically does is that it gives the magistrate the power to issue the license for exhibiting and training of performing animals and for the use of dogs for safeguarding. Section 3 then deals with that certificate that the magistrate issues in respect of that licenses. So the challenge to it was that giving a magistrate this power was an administrative function, and this administrative function basically encroached on the constitutional principle of the doctrine of the separation of powers. So the court didn't feel it's appropriate for magistrates to be involved in administrative talk, which should focus solely on judicial function. That order that the court gave, it was the order of invalidity was suspended for 18 months. The judgment was delivered on the 11th of July 2013, and because the order was suspended for a period of 18 months, that sections then remained valid until 10 January 2015. However, last year, the committee also requested the department to approach the Constitutional Court to extend the period of suspension, which they then did in November. They approached the court, and the court extended the period of suspension until 12 July this year. What does this mean? It means that this bill, which is before us today, has to be passed and assented to by the President before 12 July. If it's not done before that, then that area will be unregulated. Now, in terms of the bill, I went through it clause by clause. The first clause which I thought needed clarity, it's called Clause 3. Clause 3 has a Section 3S, and it provides that the National Licensing Officer may grant an application for license if he or she is satisfied that the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated in Section 3H is in accordance with the purpose of this Act. So Section 3H sets out all the information the National Licensing Authority requires. Then an additional power is given to the National Licensing Officer that once it's received it, he has to consider does it comply with the purpose of the Act. Now, it is my view that this is very broad. There is no purpose clause that tells us what the purpose of the Act is, so it leads to an interpretive flaw proposal that in the bill that we should include a clause to set out exactly what's the purpose of the act, since this is an additional criteria that the national licensing officer has to take into account before issuing that license. The second one is just a reading or drafting issue. It's still in clause 3, section 3H. Section 3H deals with the application for license, whereas section 3F deals with the considering and granting of applications for license. It is just my proposal, if you look at it, we first have the person considering the license, and then the very next section is the application. I just think in terms of the format, we must bring the application before the consideration. So that's just a proposal. Then the next one is section 3H2E, also in clause 3, and it refers to a prescribed fee. The minister can now set what the fee is going to be. However, if we look at the regulation section, there's nowhere there that gives the minister the power to prescribe a fee. So I just think in the regulation section we can refer to it and just give the minister that power, so that there's no issue when the regulation comes into place in terms of what which section did he give it. In the next clause, clause 4, this is just a small drafting proposal. The heading to that section says what the amendment is going to be. Just in terms of drafting, if you do put that heading, you have to also say when that heading, that section was amended. So in addition to that, I propose that we make the correction and just say that that section was amended before by the other two acts, which is section 7 of Act 7 of 1972 and section 9 of Act 7 of 1991. Then secondly, there's a citation to an act which is not correct. The correct citation is not, is the Natural Science Professions Act, 2003, Act number 27 of 2003. In other words, South African is not part of the correct citation of the Act, so we must just make that small amendment as well. Then I have a proposal. The term board is used in that section, and there's no definition for board. I just propose in that, since that section is used in the bill, but since this section deals with the definition, I propose that we do give a definition for board, even if we just say the board established in terms of that, so that when the person reads it, you know exactly which board we're talking about. And this is also just for drafting proposal. There is a definition of prescribed. However, the rule in drafting is if you're going to give, if you're not going to extend or limit a definition, you don't need to put it in as extra clutter. So the definition which is given there of prescribed is the ordinary meaning of prescribed. It doesn't limit it, it doesn't take it beyond it. So I would propose that we don't have that definition, it's just extra clutter to the bill. Still on clause 5, there was they're doing an addition of section 11A. However, in drafting, if there has been a section 11A before, if you add something extra, you can't call it section 11A again. So that's incorrect. We need to just correct that and make that section 11B. Because if you're going to look at court cases that comes out previously, and then you think, previously you will think they're referring to this section if you look at the Act. However, that's not the section which has been referred to, it's something which has been repealed. So we need to renumber that to section 11B. Still on clause 5. If I look at clause 5, there is a number of issues which is included under clause 5. Clause 5 deals with the right to appeal, number 1, the referral of the appeal to the board, appointment and the remuneration of the board, the designation of a chairperson, appeal processes and formalities, and the procedure to be followed should the investigation be interrupted in a vacancy. Now, all of this is a lot to put under one section, and it, usually you break it up, the appointment of the board and formalities that has to be. So I would propose that we then break it up into smaller pieces to make it easier for the reader. A question of clarity, which I think the commitment of the department is that section 1, subsection 1 of, provides that a person who feels aggrieved may appeal to the minister against such decision or action. But if we look at the content of what that section says, the minister, after it has received an appeal, it refers the appeal for investigation and decision to the board. The board then later is given the power to confirm, vary, set aside a decision or action by the National Licensing Authority. The question which I think which is not clear, if it is that you're appealing to the minister then thereafter has no other role. The role of the minister is just to refer to the board, and it also appoints the board. Why do you want to put that administrative exhibit of appealing to the minister? Why not appeal directly to the board? What's the purpose of appealing to the minister? The minister don't take a decision, is not involved at all after that. So that's just an issue which I'm highlighting. Then my last issue, and it's not necessarily in the bill, it's just I wasn't clear if I read the bill as opposed to the memorandum of object, what the intention is, which I think we need to make also establish what it is. Paragraph 11.5, bullet 3, provides that the provincial department becomes involved in the licensing processes if the national licensing officer delegates any function to officials of the provincial department. That's what the memo says. If I look at the bill, clause 3, Section 3E, it deals with the delegation of functions. It says that the National Licensing Officer may delegate any of his or function under this Act to an expert or other person appointed in terms of Section 3D. If you look at Section 3D, is that the DG, and this is now your National DG, may at the request of the National Licensing Officer and subject to the laws regulating the public services appoint such experts or other persons as may be implemented. So the DG appoints these people and that's at the national level. The delegation only allows for the delegation to this person which the DG appoints. It's therefore not clear how those provinces then come into play. This all happens at national. So I just think the intention needs to be made sure. Is it the intention that provinces are going to be involved or not? And that's it for me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I will now take the presentation from Ms. Kwame. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. I think the presentation from Desi has highlighted some of the issues and images of the bill. Then I'll go straight to page 2 of the brief that titled Overview of the Farming Animals Protection Amendment Bill, and to try and highlight some of the issues that we've also discussed. So the bill sets out or makes provisions to confer certain functions to the National Licensing Officer, which amongst them is to attach terms, conditions, or limitations to the license. And what is important then is to get clarity from the department how it plans to enforce this provision. If the conditions, some of the conditions are in terms of the living quarters, in terms of the meals provided for such animals, of the performing animals.
Those who are there is a brief overview of the performing animals protection amendment there. It's about 3 pages. And that goes to number 1. I want that angel to listen. Okay, process.
Thanks, Jay. So I was on page 2 of that document. So we're starting out by just looking at the terms and conditions or limitations that are set upon such a license. But the issue is, so if in the application you say that the animals are kept in such and such a facility, the meal plan for such animals, the hours for which they will be trained or used to perform, all that information must be in the application that would be submitted for the license. But once a license is granted, then the question is how the department plans to ensure that those conditions are adhered to and kept as such throughout the validity of the license. And then the other issue that is provided for is that the national licensing officer should perform functions that could be assigned to him or her as per the act, which says we have raised, but because it is not clearly defined then the objective purpose of the act, then it could be open-ended as such. In terms of Section 3D, the DG may, at the request of the national officer, appoint experts. But that issue, it says appoint experts to implement this act. So the question there is it to implement the act in its entirety, to implement the administrative function of the act, to implement the inspectorate or monitoring aspect of the act, what exactly is the act that could be delegated to such experts. And I think even the definition thereof, which has not been provided for these experts or the qualification thereof of such experts, then it still remains open-ended. And in terms of Section 3F, the National Licensing Officer may grant an application if the premises, accommodation, equipment, facilities, and so on will not cause harm to the animal as applied for. But members must also be aware that the department has informed that, well, we know that there is no animal welfare policy or legislation that exists. And as such, the definition or the provisions of what actually causes harm to an animal is still out there. And yes, the animal welfare policy is still under development, as the department says. But for now, once this bill would come into effect, that still is a gray area and it's in vacuum and it has not been provided for in terms of what does it mean when you say it must not cause harm to the animal. And I think that would probably generate a lot of interest, particularly for animal welfare enthusiasts, which a lot of the issues here directly deal with such interested parties. And then in terms of Section 3H, the bill makes provisions that the application for the license is for any person who intends to exhibit any animal or train any animal. And I think the main issue there comes in with the any part of it. But if any animal goes on to include wildlife, bird life, and, you know, it's quite wide and open-ended. The issue there in terms of the nature conservation element, you have the problems, a simple example that I could think of was the cheetah breeding programs, the walk with elephants type of places that people would go to. Those animals are to some extent exhibited, and there is some interaction with the public. And as such, it would mean those animals, there should be licenses that apply to them. But if you want to extend the act to apply to such cases, then it would also mean you are now in the terrain of nature conservation. And in the terrain of nature conservation, then there's also a set of legislation that could apply in that regard. So how this bill affects that provision of any animal, it broadens the scope of where this bill could apply, and I think it's not been well considered in terms of how then does it impact on other pieces of legislation that govern certain other areas wherein these animals would be found within. I think in terms of, okay, so I've addressed the issue of the living conditions, the meal plans and all of that, and there's also provisions that say the license could be revoked if the applicant no longer complies. So that issue of how then do you ensure that those conditions as set out are adhered to, the department should try and address such. Of course, it might not need to be included in the bill itself, but just for the satisfaction of members that these issues have been considered. And lastly, in the memorandum that is attached to the bill, the department states that together with the state law advisors, they are of the opinion that this bill does not need to go to the National House of Traditional Leaders. But of interest, I know in 2 weeks back in the Sunday newspaper, there's a horse racing industry that exists in rural areas, particularly, okay, the Chasing Point was in the Eastern Cape. So now that we mean, even in those rural communities, those people need licenses for their horses. But if that bill is not going to be taken to the National House of Traditional Leaders, then it leaves some questions in that regard. And it would then be difficult to now try and impose those conditions upon communities who participate in such an exhibition or a sport of some kind, and without, which also has a bearing because it is a traditional practice to some extent, but you're saying they have not been consulted and they have not given their input or views into the processing of the bill. And so some of the issues now are on the principal act itself, now with the amendments that would be effected. And I can't, this is not necessarily a legal opinion, and maybe Desiree would speak to that. But the Section 4 of the Principal Act that makes provisions for the right of entry, and it states that any police officer may enter upon premises for the purpose of inspecting those premises or the animals. But what is not clearly defined or clearly articulated is how that function then is coordinated in terms of that. And moreover, with the new insertion of Section 3H, Subsection 3, it makes a provision that the National Licensing Officer has the right to gain entry into such premises. So it's always a duplication of functions. There's one in the Principal Act, that function is being carried out by an officer, a police officer, and now an insertion of the national, conferring functions to the National Licensing Officer to carry out that very same function. So, and that might need to be clarified. In terms of Section 8 of the Principal Act, again, the provisions for penalties that could be imposed, and it states in Subsection 1 that it shall be lawful for a magistrate to suspend that license if you are in contravention of the Act. And Subsection 3 of that says, every magistrate shall endorse upon the license of every holder the particulars and so on if you're found to be in contravention of that Act. And I think the question there is this not to some extent an administrative function that should have been conferred to the National Licensing Officer as opposed to reverting it back to magistrate or keeping it within the domain of magistrate. And then the department has been for the portfolio committee to make certain to make presentations regarding the bill, and I think then the questions based on what they've presented before, the issue of the financial implications of the bill, that is one area, and the department has said that they would use there would be no need to, for human resources, they would not need to make as much changes because they would use the animal scientists and the veterinarians that are already within the department or within provincial departments. But the other issue there, members must also remember the issue of the critical skills shortage within those professions. And there is a huge, there's a large vacancy rate within the department itself. So now you have this unit of the department that is under-resourced, but you will now add function, like an added function in terms of what these people need to do. And I think that might be an issue that needs to be considered. So the animal welfare policy, I've addressed that, and I think just to get an indication how far that the development of the animal welfare policy is and how this bill in itself and the functions contained therein would fit within the broader animal welfare sector, I think that's also important. And the department should probably then indicate to the department they promised that by October 2014 they would have service points that are identified. Because what the bill does, it says,
there's a provision there that says the application is made in the district of residence of the applicant. So now it would mean throughout the country there should be, in terms of accessibility, then all these district offices should be able to at least accept the application. So if that has been done, the service points have been identified, and in the event of passing of the bill, it can be implemented. And there were also issues, like the department said, they would address in terms of harmonization of standards between national and provincial departments. And as Jeffrey alluded to, what exactly is the function of provinces in this regard. And then there were also issues of research and development that the department would undertake for the purposes of this bill, and the progress there on these issues would be important.
Okay. Two presentations. Now is the time for members to reflect, whether it's questions or proposals. Everybody is welcome from the side of the members again. Honorable Steyn, Honorable Carter, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Koshi. Yes, and that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my questions would be directed at this stage to the legal advisor. My first question is regarding the fact that it's proposed as a Section 75 bill. And I think we just heard now the issue of regional offices. And that will definitely have something to do with provinces. So what is the reason for it being proposed as a Section 75 opposed to 76? I know we had in the past long discussions on previous bills about that in the impact. And I think that's also mostly things that, you know, there's a constitutional court case going on the tagging of bills. So if I can just get an explanation on that firstly. Then the second question that I wanted to ask is, and I know that you said that you haven't had time to speak to the department again. Have you not spoken to the department since, when was it, October, November, September last year when we discussed this? Because I just get the impression that the bill is, before us, is still very germacar. You know, there's no thought that's really gone into that after our discussions last year. Sorry for that, but that's my two questions.
Thank you, Chair, you could actually dedicate the rest of the day. I've got enough questions that we can ask, okay? But I think we must just get to the really. Firstly, thanks for our law advisors here. That you can see that a lot of work has been put into it. I want to say to you, and I've said this in September last year, you read the definition, any person. Who is that any person? Who is the any animal? And you will recall, I said, does that also include the animal, the rats that are trained in Bethlehem? Okay? So it is important that we clear this. But just to get to another point, I really, we in this committee, we said, the minister, the deputy minister, everyone agreed, this cannot be passed as a Section 75. It's got to be a 76. We agreed. Then we get a surprise. It's been gazetted. Now, why does the department just have the power to do whatever they want to go and gazette a Section 75 after we in this committee had discussions and we said it can't be? Except for the horse racing side, there's another traditional sport, which is, well, not a sport, it's actually used as a living, where dogs are used for hunting in rural areas. That too is going to affect on it's got to go back to the House of Traditional Leaders because it is a living, they earn a living off hunting with dogs. It's not, as animal lovers, we might not all agree with it, but it's a reality, it's a fact, it's there. there's a lot of distinctions. If we, for example, look at 3D and 3E, what I'm concerned is that we are opening doors up to malicious damage. And this is what is happening now. I'm saying there's a lot of malicious damage going on. I don't like you. You're taking an elephant, walks with an elephant in the park, but we want that elephant shot, or we want that elephant to be out in the fields and go and die. That is the type of malicious action that is taking place at this stage. So, you know, there is a lot of a question, but I think for me to ask all those questions right here now would be wrong. So we would rather have that when the department is here, when we're asking questions to the department in an hour's time. But another thing is that I really want to make a request to specifically our researchers. You know, we keep on getting these surprises. Now, surprises are for birthday parties and for presents and for good stuff. But we shouldn't get a surprise, specifically when it comes to public participation. There were regulations. There were regulations gazetted in the beginning of April in terms of the Papa Act. No one knows about it. It was just by chance that a member of the public saw it. But there's a 50-day time period to respond and to give your comments. So we cannot have these surprises, and maybe if we can ask our researchers to please, anything that's got to do with agriculture, that we actually look at that and bring it to the attention of the committee so that there is not these surprises just popping up. But just also just on a point of maybe a bit of clarity, domesticated wild animals actually does not fall under the Department of Environment. It does, it's actually classified to fall under the Department of Agriculture. But we need to ask ourselves whether it is actually directed to the correct department.
Okay, another bomber.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think we welcome the presentation. So I think there's a lot of good work that has been put. But the investigation that I would wish that we deal with is what they've already raised, the other members, the clarification in terms of Section 75 or Section 76, because that would be critical. Otherwise, we'll be multiplying our own efforts by zero. Mm-hmm. Taking a bill that is the Section 76 and put it as a Section 75 bill. But linked to that, I think it's the issue of the jurisdiction itself. I'll be interested also to get clarity on whether or not this issue falls within an exclusive jurisdiction of the national competence, or there's concurrent jurisdiction. And if there is a concurrent jurisdiction, we may have to look at the issue of provinces, which they have raised, the extent to which, because it says here that the provinces will be involved to an extent that they get permission from national. So we may have to look at that, because when I read here the memo, it says provinces must get permission from national. So what I would want clarity on is whether the issue of concurrent jurisdiction or is an exclusive jurisdiction, and how do we deal with that? And if it's concurrent jurisdiction, we may have to look at the possibility of giving provinces their full right in terms of executing some of the issues that are raised in the bill. Yes, thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mutai.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. Honorable Kata covered me a bit, but let me take it further in relation to referral to National House of Traditional Leaders. Chairperson, it's true that there are some traditional communities which make use of animals for traditional purposes in communication, when communicating with our traditional, our ancestors. Therefore, I think it will be proper for the committee to consider referral of this bill amendment to the
National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of the relevant section, section 81 of 81A of our Traditional Leadership Governance Framework Act. And again, maybe I dissatisfied because when I think she was presenting, she made mention of the fact that the bill should be accepted too by the president by July 24, 2015. Will it be possible, take into consideration the cumbersome processes of processing of this of bills normally? I'm aware that the Constitutional Court has given this Parliament up to, initially it was 18 months, and then now there is this sort of dispensation up to July, but we are already in April, so we are only left with 2 months. So the practicality thereof, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to give other members also just a chance to ask questions, but there is a couple of things that I just think maybe, especially from a legal side, that is maybe important for us just to have a look at. For example, Section 3L, that is talking about a municipal bylaw. Now, I think it's very important that we need to look at that, because how can municipal bylaws supersede the Act or a bill? Okay, so we've got to just make sure that we're not going to have bylaws that are now just going to say, hey, this Act or law giving rise that anything can be changed or not changed. Also, if we look at the issuing of a license under 3J, I think it's particularly important that we should say to the department, firstly, that it's okay what we're saying there, but there must be a time frame for actually making those decisions. You've got to give notice within 21 days, but what is the time frame that we are talking about? We've been covered on the board side. Sorry, there was just another point that I thought was important. But there's a couple of, for example, 3D3X, but what I'll do is I'll make notes of all of these as well and just give it to you.
Honourable Ms. Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me begin by welcoming the presentation, thanking the presenters for their input. But my issue, Chair, has been raised, but perhaps to emphasize on this issue being referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders as well as the Provincial Houses of Traditional Leaders. I may speak outside being an honorable member, speak as a traditional leader, former members of traditional council, a proud breeder of Great Danes. And if there are any echoes, you can come and have a look at the Great Danes of members of Hopewood. But I'm selling honorable state. So you're most welcome. For the litter, currently there's another litter in June that is already up for sale. But I must say, honorable chair, that the traditional leaders' role in terms of this bill is crucial, mainly because a vast majority of animals in our country reside in rural areas. And to continue having them not participating is really doing an injustice to those communities. And it would be proper for us to really have input from the National House of Traditional Leaders. And I want to speak to them also. The issue of horse racing in the Eastern Cape, particularly in our area of Mthatha, I've seen those horse racing competitions that are arranged by locals, and it's indigenous horses. How to better the stock and how to professionalize the stock really depends on their involvement and their participation on such legislation that takes place. So I would like to also concur that we wish that this bill should be referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders for their input. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you'll be able, Desiree, also to deal with the issue of tagging. I think that was raised. But all members have raised very important questions because, you know, the last contribution or the last two contributions on the question of traditional areas. It's quite important because if we don't open space for such communities, you know, what we're trying to do will be squeezed, if I can put it that way, to the well-developed areas, well-organized areas. Imikhwelo yamahashe in our areas, it's a game. It's quite a very interesting thing in the rural areas. In the last meeting, we were talking about what was the effect in the Eastern Cape around Berlin. Those who were in the meeting will recall. There is a honorable strike. Berlin, not in Germany, Berlin in the Eastern Cape. There was a horse racing event there for the first time. And those people around, from all those villages, were demonstrating their ability to participate. So I think these things must be able to open space for the rural areas. I can't say more on the question of traditional leaders because rural provinces, you can't ignore such structural areas of traditional leaders. Over to you, Desiree. I know you like to be called Desiree.
Thank you, Chair. If I look at the questions, most of them deals with the issue of tagging, as the Chair pointed out. I think it's just appropriate for me just to explain what tagging is and the processes involved in tagging. If we tag, we look at every provision of the bond and see whether it falls within a section, within Table 4 of the Constitution. Or there's other instances in Section 76 which set out which both falls within some of Section 76 both. Now, if something doesn't fall within one of those competences, then it's a Section 75 both. So what we look at when we look at each clause is to see those categories that are listed there. Could it that clause potentially fall within that. One of the issues that we did look at was animal control and disease. When that category is indicated there, it's not only animal control and animal disease, it's animal control and disease. And the reason why the constitution, why they flock them together. I also looked at animal control and disease, what it means traditionally. It means that usually if there's an outbreak or animals are creating a nuisance, then they, if I look at past ordinances, then they would regulate that situation. I see if that is the situation in this bill. I tested that against whether that's the situation in this bill. In this bill, what it basically says, if an animal performs, you actually apply for licenses. One of the things they look at is to see how you treat it, where the animal is being kept, what the conditions the animal is going to perform. It was my view that if I looked at what this bill does and what animal control disease is, this bill doesn't necessarily fall put in there. Maybe animal control on its own, but there's a reason why the constitutional court, I mean why the constitution is written animal control and disease. On the issue of provincial offices, it says here that you can apply to district offices, but if I look at each and every clause, it doesn't tell me that there is going to be a provincial office. A national office can also have a district office. That's why I said one of the issues, I cannot assume something that's beyond what's written on the words. If it is, the intention is that pharmacists is going to be involved, then we have to look at that. But the way the bill is drafted before me, I didn't get that intention that the provinces is involved. I've got it from the memo, but unfortunately tagging is not based on the memo. So, on the, that's what we consider. We consider various issues. I forgot my little notes now. When we consider the tagging. But we'll have a look at it again closely, listening from what happens. The process of tagging is also very, very difficult because why? When you sit in it and look at the legislation, we're not experts in the area. Many a times, a lot of the information, like now that the horse is being used for traditional purposes, that come out of public comments and interactions with the department to understand exactly what the bill is about. So it is very difficult to tag a bill when you read it just like this because we are bound to what's written before us. But we look at it again, especially for the issue of the referral of the national to traditional leaders. I wasn't aware that dogs are being used for performing animals in a traditional sense. So I'll definitely have a look at that again. On the question of jurisdiction and concurrent jurisdiction, whether provincial laws can supersede municipal laws, which has the most power. If you look at the schedules again, legislative competence and who has the exclusive authority to legislate on something is set out in the schedules. If something does fall within a municipal function, the municipality has the power to or the provinces has power to draw up laws. The only instance when a national piece of legislation can override it is if there is, and that's set out in Section 44 of the Constitution, if there is problems with the way one province is implementing it and the other provinces, and it's creating chaos. Or for national security purposes and so on, then a national government can come in and say, no, but we now need to put in a framework in terms of which provinces and municipality. But still provinces and municipality will have their legislation. So, yes, there can be instances where it's within the exclusive competence of provinces and municipalities. Will have to, if they want to encroach on it, they'll have to comply with Section 44 of the Constitution. On the question of the 12th July deadline, it is very tight. I think the committee secretary was more involved in the processes than maybe speak on that. If it is a Section 76 bill, at the moment Section 75, which means that, the process may be a bit less in the NCOP, but we are looking at the tight deadline because the president also needs to consider it and assent it. So there is time is of the essence with this bill. As I said, the committee secretary maybe elaborate on the committee's program and whether they will be able to meet the deadline. There was a question about the time frame on the issuing of licenses. I'll keep that in mind. I think that's more question to raise with the department. Maybe if there's a proposal, it can be incorporated in here. Just on the question on our consultation, my personally, with the department, when we met last year, the bill was still with the department. It only really becomes a product of Parliament and our office becomes involved in this year. we don't really interact with the department beforehand because we advise the committee. So it's up to the department whether they take it up. The committee's power comes in is when they can change it here once it's in with Parliament. I think that's the round of my questions. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all members. My name is Pumela Ngema. I'm also a parliamentary legal advisor. And maybe, Chairperson, with your permission, if I can add on what Ms. Swartz has just spoken to.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to address two things. The first one would be on the definition of animal and the question that was raised that to any animal, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, in terms of the Animal Protection Act, which is made reference to on the Performing Animals Act, that act defines what an animal is, and it says animal means any equine, bovine, sheep, goat, pig, fowl, ostrich, dog, cat, or other domestic animal or bird, or any wild animal, wild bird or reptile, which is in captivity or under the control of any person. So that is the definition which guides us when we speak to any animal or have any reference about an animal. That was the first point I wanted to address. And the second one is on tagging, Chairperson. As my colleague has explained, tagging is not an easy task. And it's also clear from all the constitutional court cases that have come up, which the courts are attempting to try and assist us understand and have a better interpretation of how these provisions should be actually interpreted and applied. And fortunately, there is also another recent judgment which came from the Western Cape High Court, which tried then to look at both what the Liquor Bill constitutional judgment as well as the Dongane judgment, which have been the crucial judgments that have guided us to have a better understanding exactly what it means to be taking a bill and what is required of us when we take a bill. Fortunately, what those court cases have tried to inform and advise us all as the persons that are actually looking at this issue, the courts, both of them, have explained that tagging is not about looking at the competency as to which of the legislature has the competency to deal with the matter, but it looks at what procedure to follow when whichever legislature is looking at regulating into a certain matter. And the main point that the three judgments have raised, that is the Liquor Bill judgment, the Dongane judgment, as well as the Western Cape High Court DA matter, which seeks to clarify for all of us what exactly we must do. They have said that the first thing we must look at the provision itself, and the crucial provision in this instance is Section 76.3. Section 76.3 says, when a matter is listed, as long as it's listed either as a Schedule 4 or as a Schedule 5, it becomes a matter for concurrent competence. Which means, provincially, nationally, and maybe if it falls under Schedule 5, even local government can regulate on that matter. So the first point that we start at is checking whether what we are dealing with is listed under the schedule. Now, in this exercise, as we try to look at the tagging process, which I must also add that we have actually also provided our own tagging opinion to the JTM and indicated that we are of the view that it should be a 75. And the JTM has also signed in confirmation in other ways that the bill has been tagged by Parliament through the JTM as 75 as well. But what I'm trying to then explain through the process that we do is to look what the content of the bill speaks to. Does it touches on any of the subject matters or the functional areas that are listed? And as I said, it was a very crucifying exercise to go through. I actually prepared an opinion to tag this bill. And initially, I was also swayed to thinking that it's a 76 bill. And the main provision that made me want to feel that it's a 76 bill. If you look at Schedule 4, there is animal control and diseases. That's the first one. And my question was, if I break down animal control and take away diseases, definitely this bill then, because it says National Licensing Officer, you have the power to go and check where the performing dogs are kept, where the performing bovines are kept, whether that place is suitable to accommodate them, whether this the person that will be looking at, and we are limited to only performing animals in this instance. And we need to then appreciate what do we mean when you say performing animals. So that was the first subject area that I looked at, animal control and diseases. The bill has nothing that speaks to diseases. That much is clear, the diseases that animal can. But then as I was discussing this and trying to apply myself, one of my colleagues indicated that, but for instance, let's say you are taking your animals to go and perform, you are driving them from Eastern Cape to then perform in the Western Cape. And somewhere along the way, some kind of disease breaks through with those animals. How do you then take it out of that whole subject area to say animal control and diseases? Because then these are animals on their way to perform, and then along the way something happens, and the people along the way are going to be affected by the diseases that may break out of these animals that are going to perform. But then we went back to the content of the bill, as my colleague has indicated. Does it go that far? Because all that it says, national officer, you have a right to issue a license. That is basically what we are saying here. We are establishing a body that is going to provide licenses for performing animals. Then I took it further, and then I said, if the animal definition is saying a dog is part of an animal, and if you go to Schedule 5, it's licensing of dogs. So how do you take out that this bill deals with licensing for dogs? Because a dog can be a performing dog, and a dog is also an animal. But this is not licenses for dogs. And Schedule 5 says licensing of dogs. In this instance, it's licensing of performing animals, which also includes a dog, because a dog is defined as an animal. But that function is not taken away from the local government to regulate when they have to license dogs or when they have to deal with licenses for dogs. And unfortunately, if you take out animal control and diseases and you look at all the functional areas that are listed and you ask yourself, licensing for animals, where does it fall? The liquor bill tried to look at licensing for liquor. And there the court did tell us, but that licensing for liquor is a matter that is provincial. That's not national. Now I tried to think, licensing animals, unfortunately the schedules are specific. And if it's not expressed in a clear terms, it gives us a problem. Just as is the case now, we are talking about licensing for performing animals. There's nothing that speaks to that. And if there's nothing, then the matter falls to be exclusive jurisdiction for Parliament. Because where the Constitution says nothing, the interpretations from court and the interpretation of understanding legally what we are doing, it does say. Where it's exclusive, where there is no mention of it, automatically or by default, it falls to be a competence and a jurisdiction for National Parliament. Which is why eventually, having considered all that, and it was not an easy task, we've come to the conclusion that we feel in this instance. Because if you look at the content of the bill, it really does not touch specifically on those areas that are listed. Therefore, we've concluded that in our opinion, which an opinion is a view that can be contrasted by anyone as long as you can substantiate where you stand and what you think it is. In our view, we've concluded that we feel that this bill should be tagged as a 75. Because if you look at it closely and you scrutinize the contents and the provisions in the bill, they really did not touch on issues that are listed in the schedule. Which takes me to the second point about whether we refer it to traditional leaders in line with Section 18 of the Traditional Leaders Governance Framework Act. Section 18 is specific. It says, when the bill pertains to customary law, or when the bill pertains to indigenous law. If we look at this bill, we are not touching specifically on traditions or touching specifically on indigenous law and customary law. The bill, as I said, speaks broadly about licensing for performing animals. It says nothing about whether customarily it shouldn't be done, about whether in terms of customary law, those dogs that were used for hunting or whatever, it doesn't regulate on that. All it says, because there's been an issue constitutionally that a magistrate can no longer issue a license because that is an administrative function. And that means if it's an administrative function, it must be done executively and not judicially. That is the issue. And that is what this bill seeks to address. Licensing of performing animals administratively. It has nothing to do with customary law. It has nothing to do with changing or altering traditions as we know them. And that is basically a half cent worth of my advice. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much. But some mum again, man. That was a mouthful. That was a mouthful. Mrs. Carter?
It was a mouthful, and I must also just firstly thank you for the mouthful.
Yeah.
But I really have to say, and I think this is where we are really missing, we're missing the plot. I do realize that we say it's performing animals. But the problem is, what is a performing animal? Because the bill also talks about exhibiting. So what about the red meat industry, okay, that is taking their Brahman bull that is going to win a prize? So they're going to win a prize, it's money. We are now looking at the red meat industry, we're looking at the, it's not, this is what this is talking about. Because the definition says any animal, okay, and it also talks about that will be exhibited. So it's agricultural shows, number one. It is police dogs. It is the defense forces rats. That is what this is talking about. Unless we are going to look at work on the definition, because there will be court interactions without being taken to court because the definitions are not right. Okay? I want to give you an example, the cats. A week ago, the NSPCA tried to obtain an interdict to stop a cat show. Those are the type of things, and this is why we have to protect the departments, we have to protect the agriculture industry, we have to protect the traditional leaders, okay? Because their dogs are going to be confiscated. They're going to be locked up. They're going to be arrested. And we have to protect them here. So maybe in terms of what we see in front of us and what the Constitution is saying, there is a hidden side that we're not getting to. Okay, and that is the malicious part I was talking about earlier on. Now, we've got to work very hard not to, or to curb that malicious side. And that is why I think really, even if it's not a Section 76, because, Chair, I have to say to you, it is very disappointing that 7 months down the line, we are still exactly on exactly the same document as we were in September last year. Exactly the same document. No work has been done. And, yeah, so I think really we need to give more thought into this than what we currently are doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thanks for the explanation. I think it's quite getting clear. But it comes to my mind that there is still a lot of work to be done. We've done a lot already, but there must be a lot of work to be done. One suggestion would be, we must request an extension of time in terms of what the court requires, because there are a lot of issues that must be dealt with. And another matter that we in the main are just politicians. We represent the majority of the people in South Africa now. When we come to committees, we'll not only be stuck by strict definitions of how things must be done. Otherwise, we'll find that we create a serious gap between ourselves and the people that have voted us in, if we're to look at this thing in a strict sense way of what the explanation is saying, particularly on customer law. So my suggestion would be we still need that consultation. The consultation with traditional leaders. They are also affected. We may look at it in a strict way of saying Section 18 says this of this act and so on. It's well and correct. It's good, but they are going to be affected by this piece of legislation. So we need that form of consultation. The consultation may not mean, they mean them having to know what are the provisions of the legislation are now, and how do they get affected, because I have a feeling that they will generally be affected. And I agree with the colleague who said majority of the animals are in the rural areas. So we can't regulate specifically for those that may be in the urban areas. And what about the majority that are in the rural areas and so on and so forth? So I think my two suggestions is that we need to just get a decision of the National Assembly to request the court to give us more time just for further consultation. And secondly, we need that consultation. Let's go and consult. It does no harm for us to consult our people. In any way, our people must know what we legislate and make them understand more what does the impact of this legislation on themselves and generally to the South African public. I think that is a contribution. Thank you very much.
No, I think the proposals are noted, but we still have many, there are many questions. We are still going to meet the department. And then all these issues will definitely put across to them. But I think what Honorable Bongo is saying is in order. Nothing we can do without consulting, so that we do it right. Because consultation reinforces the book. You talk to these people directly, and then it reinforces what will be put down. Can we? It's just the members that public participation will come, and not necessarily. Can we leave it at that, members? And maybe before we go, I must persuade members to accept the agenda as it is, because we have a serious problem of people who can't believe. So we'll have to take a few minutes to do the in-house issues, and then go back to the following item after what we're going to do now. Welcome, Honorable Sultana. You were on the spot. You said you'll be here by 11:30 because you went to another committee. We'll take a few minutes, members, to just go. We must adopt minutes. Please, members, don't leave. Honorable Bongo, don't prepare to leave. It will be 10 minutes. if there is a pressing issue, I can allow only you because you have a problem of quorum. But after that, members are free to leave. Okay. In the meantime, there are drinks, there is coffee, there is everything. What's the minister's situation? Mrs. Stainmoss will be coming at 12.
Long list. Yeah, but we've done.
page 2. Page 3. Right. This document also reflects the concerns on page 4 that were raised by the committee. And then the resolutions taken. Any issue that you want to raise in the minutes? Not necessarily a matter of arising. Because, yes, honorable cut.
Please forgive me, okay? I wasn't present at this meeting, but I think it's just important that as an alternate member, if we do not get notification that there's apologies, so, you know, it's, I always, doesn't matter who it is, you see the word absent, you think that those people are just not interested whatsoever, okay? But if you've got a full-time committee, I think we just need to maybe look at it, because it's not an absent issue. You've got a full-time committee, but if there are matters of that will be affecting a constituency, that you will come in and come in as the alternative member, even if the members are here. But if you don't know there's apologies and that you're not going to have, that you need alternate members here, it actually causes a problem. So it's something that we between the smaller parties will also have to deal with, number one. But number two, it doesn't matter who it is. It is not a good protection.
Yeah, but you know most that even if you're an alternate, you must send an apology, a written apology, unless there are problems. Honorable Shongwa, no, Shengwa, doesn't say to send an apology, but doesn't fail to be absent with an apology. I've never seen him in this committee ever since. But he sends apology all the time. So if you're subsequent, when he or she receives, and then sends an apology, it will be helpful so that the record reflects that.
This committee is operating differently than other committees.
Oh. No. This is another comment. So if you think you can liaise with Albertina, so that's just to say you are committed in another committee. It's well and good. Any move over the adoption of the minutes of the 10th of March, Honorable State?
Propose that we accept the minutes.
Second, one record. The 10th. I'm of course on the LMRD, Tungwana. Honorable Stain host, and then Honorable Mabi was in the meeting. Good. Minutes of the 13th, very few pages. Mrs. Carter, I think we will have to do this because it's a bad reflection on the name. Yeah, so, yes.
Yes, I can just raise this, okay? As an alternate member, usually in a political party, okay, it works differently with the smaller parties now, because there's 10 smaller parties and there's 2 representatives, okay, that goes to a committee. So if, say, for example, I'm a full member on this committee, but I cannot make it, then I will contact an alternate member and say to that alternate member, listen, I cannot go to DAF today, please can you go in my place, okay, to make sure that there's always the 2 representatives. Now, unfortunately, that communication is not there, okay, which is not the committee's problem, but it's a problem that we need to deal with the 10 other parties that share the 2. But it's always been, it had to be a consultative process, because as it is, I've got a permanent committee on a Tuesday, and I've got a permanent committee on a Wednesday. So I've put in apologies when I'm not there, when I come in as alternate to this committee. So can you imagine if I have to put in apologies to 35 or 37 committees every week? What an administrative nightmare that becomes. Okay, you know, taking into consideration the 10 smaller parties.
Yeah. Okay, just one, because, I mean, if you have a permanent committee on Tuesday, which is not agriculture, just write one apology as a permanent apology. It's done. You write one apology and it's permanent. If you come in, then there is no problem. I think let's do that, because it's allowed to have a permanent apology, so that if you come, then it's okay. Minutes of the 15th March. Page 1. Page 2.
From a given entity should be reflected. Thank you.
Okay, any other? Another respect?
Chairperson, if we look to the other 2 minutes of 10 and 17 March, it gives a bit more detail. This one is a bit, you know, it's as if there was just a briefing, short, and no response really. So I think it's only on this one specifically. If you look to the other two, there's a presentation, and then what, it's almost, so I think it might have been, remember that day we didn't have microphones, so maybe the minute keeper was not keeping up with all the discussions and the debates and whatever. So on the others, it gives a better reflection. I think it's just this one, Chair, it looks, you know, flimsy on. But it, I think it does cover it under the resolutions by the committee.
Okay. So you're saying the resolutions are not captured in what is raised in the committee?
No, Chair, I say it is, but I want to second that we need to put it in there, that we've also asked that we get a presentation from the...
No, I understand that.
Yeah. No, it is captured, I think, but...
Are the concerns, are raised, mm-hmm. Are the resolutions not responding to the... That's what I'm checking.
From
Honourable Sultan.
Can I just say what I was saying? It does. If you look to the minutes of the 17th of March and even the 10th of March, there's a bit more discussion on the presentations and answers and questions raised than this one. I was saying this one specifically doesn't really reflect all of that as much as the other two. So I'm happy with the other two, but this one is a bit flimsy, but I think it is covered under our resolutions.
Okay. But I think let's take note of what Honourable Sultan said, so that if when we raise concerns, and then in our resolutions it reflects what has been raised as a response from the department, I think that's what he's saying. Let's try and do that. That's the end of this minutes of the 13th. Any of the... Move up? Sorry.
Although I'm not a
type
of people.
Yes.
On this one, on the last page,
thank you.
In the chapter of our chapter, I don't know whether she's MR or RM. They should
MR.
Be good.
MR.
But when you check the last page,
the chairperson is a lady.
Be consistent. If the initials are like Mr. Which is MR. Thank you very much, members. We'll be fine. Any honorable Stain? I like to say Mrs. Stain, you know.
More don't think I'm an honorable member.
Obviously.
And I propose that we accept the minutes with the inclusion of that recommendation.
Yes. Second were you part of the meeting? Kunda? No. Who missed the honorable Sultan?
Second from the bottom.
Were you present?
Yes.
What is it down there?
Oh, I see.
I thought those present are only those who are. Okay. Can we go to minutes of the 17th? Again, page 1. to members that want to raise? So other members? Presentations, concerns, and resolutions. Anything? Another abstain?
I propose that we accept the minutes, Chairperson.
Second one? Present from the bottom. I second. I always avoid to second. So, I think we're done with the minutes, members. Are we calling the department?
Recommendation or a suggestion.
Yeah.
The meeting started so late this morning. We're really running late. We still have two other presentations on the prompt readers, okay? And I'm just wondering, seeing that we're going to have so many apologies, can't we defer it to items that we haven't worked on? Defer that to the next committee and then just deal with the department today, specifically on the probable, and then the rest of our items defer it, because we're not going to have a forum to continue after half past one.
Now the department is here, these people are here. What are we going to do with the quorum? I understand your point that to continue with a meeting with two people is not good. Definitely will be four when you leave. Let's see how far we go, because the department is here already. Let's see how far we go.
Let's for about a minute and allow the department to sound down.
Yeah, I know that meeting to honor the
Yeah, we're getting smaller now.
Gracias. Yeah,